This week's message, given by Pastor Stephen Yun at the Second Sunday United Methodist Church, November 27th, 2022. The message is Making Room, Be a Neighbor, based on Isaiah 11, 1-5 and Luke 2, 16-20.
It's good to be with you this morning. Would you join me as I pray? Loving, gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, this wonderful opportunity to come and worship you in your presence. We ask the Holy Spirit to come, touch our hearts, teach us your way, the way of hope, the way of love, the way of joy, the way of peace. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's hard to believe that we are already entering the season of Advent. And as I mentioned in the beginning, Advent marks the beginning of the church calendar. This means Advent is a season to envision and map out our spiritual journey next year, discerning where we are and where God is leading us to be. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning coming or arrival. This means Advent is a season to anticipate and prepare for the coming of Christ. The challenge for us is that this is also the busiest time of year, with crowded calendars, crowded schedules, crowded to-do list. Many Christians find it hard to make room for Christ and those Christ care about. It feels like another to-do list to check up. So how we spend this season in a meaningful Christian way depends on how we declutter our inner space and make room for Christ intentionally. In the midst of all the crowdedness and busyness of this holiday season. Friends, in what ways would you make room for Christ and those Christ cares about during this season of Advent? Is the room inside of your heart large enough to hold them? Is the room inside your heart ever growing in Christ? Or is it getting smaller and smaller along the journey? Beginning this Sunday and throughout this Advent, we're going to explore these questions as we engage in a new worship series entitled Making Room. This worship sermon series will be in conjunction with our Advent study led by the three certified lay servants and me. So you will hear my message Sunday mornings and will be encouraged to reflect on the message during the week. And those of you signed up for the Advent study will have an opportunity to go deeper and learn from each other as we gather and share in a small group. And today my message is centered around the question raised in the first chapter of Ed Robb's book, Making Room, which is the textbook for our Advent study as well. A chapter entitled, Be a Neighbor. Be a Neighbor. So what does being a neighbor have to do with the season of Advent? And what does it have to do with making room for Christ? Here's a story. A mother was concerned about her kindergarten son, Timmy, walking to school. He didn't want his mother to walk with him, and she wanted to give him the feeling that he had some independence, but yet know that he was safe. Her neighbor learned about mother's dilemma and offered to follow the young boy to school in the mornings, staying at a distance so he probably won't notice you know, that she was following him. She said, I'm up early with my daughter anyway. It will be a good way of exercise. And, I'll be happy to help. And the relieved mother agreed. And the next day, the neighbor and her little girl set out following behind Timmy as he walked to school with another neighbor boy he knew. And she did this for the whole week. And as the boy walked and chatted, the Timmy's little friend noticed the same lady was following them as she seemed to do every day all week. Finally, he said to Timmy, have you noticed that lady was following us to school all week? Do you know her? Timmy replied, yeah, I know who she is. That's the Shirley Goodnest and her daughter, Marcy. Who the heck is she and why is she following us? Well, Timmy explained, every night my mom says Psalm 23 as part of her prayer because she worries about me so much. And in the psalm he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I guess I will just have to get used to it. Friends, do you have a neighbor like surely goodness and mercy? If so, you are blessed. If you're a neighbor like a surely goodness and mercy to someone in your life, you're even more blessed. Because when you make room for your neighbor, especially those in need, you make room for Christ. And when you make room for Christ, Christ makes rooms for you. When you make room for Christ, Christ enlarges your room, your inner space, that you are better able to see God's plan and God's presence with you. In the gospel story, we encounter people who were willing to make room when the Son of God came into this world. When Joseph and Mary were traveling to Bethlehem for a census, Bethlehem was crowded with travelers, so many people coming home. Mary and Joseph had to walk about 100 miles from Nazareth to get there. It was a long distance. And as you know, Mary was pregnant, most likely to be 9 months, the third trimester, which is the very toughest season for the pregnant women. And they couldn't walk as fast as others. So rooms were all booked and filled already. Perhaps, they were too exhausted to find a space, the place to stay. And a time had come for the child to be born. And they had to place the baby Jesus in a manger. We know the story. And we often say that on the first Christmas, there was no room available for the baby Jesus because no innkeeper welcomed him into a room. Traditionally, Christians didn't view the innkeeper, whoever that is, they didn't see the innkeeper favorably. Preachers, including myself, ask some of the speculating questions like this. What if the innkeeper had made room for Jesus? What would have happened if Jesus had been born in one of his or her rooms? We assume that if that was the case, the innkeeper might have become a significant part of the gospel story. Just like the others celebrated the birth of Jesus, perhaps became a part of this nativity set. But you see, in this nativity set, there's no innkeeper. As people joked, he might have built one of those big Las Vegas signs that points down and reads, Son of God, born here, right? His descendants could have charged a fortune for renting rooms. Perhaps his inn could have turned into a beautiful church later. Oftentimes the conclusion is that the innkeeper missed a wonderful opportunity to be God's great plan. He or she missed the biggest blessing of his or her life because he or she didn't make room for Jesus. Of course, we cannot be too harsh on the innkeeper for not having room for Jesus. Because we could also be in the place of the innkeeper during this season of Advent. We confess that we open our hearts to God. Oftentimes we don't want to make room for Christ. Interestingly, in his book, Ed Robb questions if this would be a fair description of the innkeeper. And he claims that it's time to consider the person in a different light. And he cites the Jewish New Testament commentary. It goes like this. A small poor village like Bethlehem would not have had an inn. Rather, in most homes, the animals were kept downstairs, while the upper part of the house consisted of a workroom where the children slept, a separate bedroom for the parents, and guest room, the last two only if the owner was rich enough to afford them. In a pinch, the space for animals underneath the living of quarters would have afforded guests some privacy. Well, we still don't know for sure because Luke doesn't provide us the details. But the truth is that there was this someone who let Mary and Joseph in. There was someone who took them in and made a room for them. Of course, it was a crowded season. There were so many people there in Bethlehem, but there was someone, most likely an innkeeper who did the best he or she could do to accommodate this young couple in a nearly impossible situation. Friends, this morning I would like to invite you to go a little further and reflect on whether there is room for our neighbors and whether we are a good neighbor. I often hear from our elderly church members how blessed they are with good neighbors who are always ready, willing and ready to help and check on them. I also know many of you have been good neighbors to people who live around you by your acts of mercy and kindness, by making room for those in need. So what does it mean to be a good neighbor? I hope you all remember this word, KGB. KGB, it sounds like a spies and agents of an intelligence agency. Though some neighbors are like spies and agents who act secretively. But that's not what I meant. It's an acronym. You know, I love acronym as a preacher. So KGB, K represent know what kind of neighbor you are. Know what kind of neighbor you are. I read an article from a U-Haul, the moving truck company. They published this article that talks about five different types of neighbors. The first type of neighbor is the social butterfly. This neighbor enjoys talking and making friends and keeping up to date on all the block gossip. And this neighbor knows the ins and outs of the community so that they would be the perfect asset to get the words out, especially about your housewarming party or new arrival to the neighborhood, something going on in the community. The second type of neighbor is the recluse. The recluse, in every neighborhood there is a house on the block that you can barely tell is inhabited. They are the recluse neighbors who prefer to keep to themselves. I mean, they could be very friendly and kind, but they're less likely to participate in block party or handing out candy on Halloweens or hanging lights during the season of Christmas. A third type of neighbor is the green neighbor, who loves the neighborhood and community, but their real passion is the environment. So this type of neighbor's yards are finely detailed all year long with perfectly bloomed flowers and the abundant vegetables. The fourth type of neighbor this article talks about is the richer than you are neighbor. Richer than your neighbor. Those are the people whom you try valiantly to keep up with but cannot. They're always getting remodels of their home. They have the perfect blaze of the grass. They change a new model of the car every year. The last type of neighbor is clueless neighbor. Hope you're not this type of neighbor. These are the folks who know no boundaries and constantly barge into your yard or living room in a very unexpected way. They can be friendly, maybe a bit wacky, but almost always clueless. They're the neighbors who make your life more complicated than it needs to be. Difficult neighbors can mean anything from people who throw noisy parties to families that let their dogs do its business in your yard. We know neighbors come in all shapes and forms. And some become your best friends, and others simply wave from afar. Maybe don't develop a close relationship. But whatever the type is, we have no control over what kind of neighbors we live around. But we can still choose to become what type of neighbor we can become. So during this time of Advent, I invite you to discern what type of neighbor I am and what type of neighbor I want to become. Take time to discern. The first K of know your neighbor, right? The second G in KGB, G represent get to know your neighbors, especially their needs. Do you know your neighbors, friends? Like really know them? Do you really know them? Their names, their types of car that they drive, their religion, their faith, tradition, if any. Where they work, or what holidays they celebrate. According to a 2018 Pew Research study, roughly a quarter of adults under 30 report that they don't know any of their neighbors. That's a significant number. How much do you know about your neighbors, friends? In this book, Ed Robb making a great suggestion that during this season, we might use this season to survey our neighborhoods. Let's get to know who our neighbors are. Embrace the welcoming spirit of the innkeeper and look intentionally for those around us who might be feeling lonely and left out. I invite you to discern how you can help your neighbors experience the power of loving invitations. So that was G. And finally in KGB, the B means B represent be a good neighbor. Friends, be a good neighbor. Getting to know them, understanding their needs doesn't automatically make you a neighbor to them. Though it's an important step and process to be a neighbor. You need to discern what it means to be a good neighbor in your life, especially in your life context, and take action, even though it's a little thing, a little act of kindness. A man visited the pastor, someone well known for her charitable impulses. Pastor, he said, a broken voice, I wish to draw your attention to the terrible plight of a poor family in our neighborhood. The father is dead, the mother is too ill to work, and their nine children are starving. They're about to be turned into the cold, empty street unless someone pays their rent, which amounts to $900. How terrible, exclaimed the pastor. May I ask who you are? The sympathetic visitor applied his handkerchief to his eyes and said, I am the landlord. And he cried. Well, that was the joke, by the way. At the 9 a.m., I had to also remind that was the joke. But, you know, sometimes this is what we do. You know, when it comes to neighbors, we want others to be a neighbor, not us. We are the exception. But think about the innkeeper. The innkeeper did what he or she could do at the moment. Be a good neighbor doesn't have to be a big thing. Sometimes it means you just stand next to the fence and hear what your neighbor has to say. You know, listening to what the person is going through in their life. Sometimes it means you pick up the trash that fell from your neighbor's garbage can on a windy day. Sometimes it means you get groceries or clean up lives for your elderly neighbor or your neighbor who has health challenge. It doesn't have to be a big thing, friends. Some people say we lose the sense of why we should become a neighbor as we are going through this pandemic. And many Christians are wrestling with the questions. Why do I have to be a neighbor to those who are not nice and friendly to me? Why do I have to care about those who don't care about me? But friends, being a good neighbor cannot be separated from being a good Christian. And we know this from the Jesus words. Because making room for your neighbor in need is making room for Christ. And again, when we make room for our neighbors, we make room for Christ. And when we make room for Christ, Christ makes room for us. And he enlarges our room. He enlarges our inner space so we can be better able to see God's plan and God's presence with us. So friends, remember KGB. Don't be like a neighbor like KGB agent, but don't know what type of neighbor you are. Get to know your neighbors and be a good neighbor. Make room, friends, and be a good neighbor. Amen.